YBH.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe! Hello! How are you, Aaron?
I'm doing pretty good.
Okay, just pretty good?
Pretty good, because this is a big week for us.
But, yes, it certainly is.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you for asking. I have had a very nice holiday weekend so far. Looking forward to sleeping in tomorrow.
Good. You should sleep in tomorrow because, oh man, this is, it's going to be nothing but lightning here today. You're going to get exhausted.
Okay, ciao.
Out Now is a film podcast where Abe and I normally discuss new movies weekly. However, every now and then, we like to have these special bonus episodes, whether it's one of our fun commentary tracks or something completely different. And this is more than just something completely different. This is the 12th annual Summer Movie Gamble Results Show.
Pew pew.
One of the most important things to happen in film all year. And I'm saying that as the Venice and Telluride film festivals are occurring right this second.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, take that. We bring our guys in on a boat, too.
You know, the Oscars happened. And here's the real magic. The real magic of Hollywood's happening right here on this podcast right now. The results of the 12th annual Summer Movie Gamble. We're going to go over what were the biggest hits of the summer, how we felt about the summer, and of course, who won the Summer Movie Gamble. And joining us to do such thing, we have last year's champion of the 11th annual Summer Movie Gamble. You know him, you maybe like him, it's Marcus Robinson.
I'm back, I'm ready to defend this title, I'm locked in. You say you like me, but I know you love me, let's go.
Welcome. Welcome, sir. That's what the requirement said.
Oh, yeah. Sir. Yeah, it's weird that you had a writer to be on this episode.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. First, he wants his assistant to get $500 in cash.
He said specifically take out the brown ones. And I was like, what? That's weird.
Whoa, that's weird.
Hey, the king gets what he wants.
Welcome, Marcus.
Glad to have you here.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me.
Of course.
It's been quite my crown.
It's been quite a year leading up to this. Some might say too long, but you're here.
Not long enough. I want another. I'm savoring this.
Okay.
Well, the seconds are counting down.
I mean, the good news is generally for the results show, we invite a guest on that, you know, generally is the winner. That's how we try to do things on. So, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah. We'll see. I know how you guys work. Come on.
What are you talking about? We don't have any money or budget for the show, Marcus.
Were you not here last year when you won?
I'm clutching my title for dear life right now.
Okay.
Let's go. Take as long as you want. Give me games, all that junk.
Well, I mean,
before you announce
we should have thought about one for Marcus.
As long as you promise us that were you to lose in the unlikely events that happens, that you won't like sick your followers on us on some random date in January. So we'll just see how this goes when you're a lame duck winner, as we refer to it.
If I lose, you know, it's fixed. You know what I always say.
Well, before we get to all that business, and trust me, there's a lot of business that will be gotten to. Let's talk about some things. First off, what we're doing here, for those that are not initiated or wondering, first off, why did I download the 12th annual Summer Movie Gamble and not one of the movie reviews? If you're here for what this is, basically, Abe and I, along with Marcus and 15 other frequent guests of the show, we've all predicted what we think would be the top 10 highest grossing films of the summer at the domestic box office. We did that back in April, before any movies were out, obviously. And now we've reached the Labor Day weekend. We're at the end of the summer movie season. And so we're going to go over the results. That's what the plan is for the majority, or for a portion of this show. We're also going to go over the summer in general because, hey, we've had a summer. We've had a lot of movies we've seen, and we want to talk about it. So with that in mind, let's go over a few things here. First up, how it started and how it ended. It started with The Fall Guy. That was the first big release of the year. It was certainly on a lot of lists. And it ended with a bit of a whimper, as it normally does at the end of August.
Depends on what you're counting the end, but yeah.
I mean, we were going to originally end it with Kraven the Hunter, a film that Marcus cannot wait to see.
Yes.
He keeps sending me Rhino gifts because he's like, Rhino's in this. Can you wait? Can you believe it? And I'm like, I know he is. That's great. And stop sending me these. But it didn't end with that. So now it ended with a couple just random movies, including Reagan, the biopic starring Dennis Quaid, Afraid with John Cho and Catherine Waterston, and of course, 1992 starring Tyrese and Ray Liotta, meaning the film was filmed not recently. That's where we ended things. And just to give a heads up on the numbers here, we'll get to some other things, but to go look at the overall numbers, both the domestic and the worldwide, and we'll get back to this in a bit as well. 10, Fall Guy, 92 million, 180 worldwide.
Wow.
Then we have If, 111, and then 184 worldwide. It ends with us. There. Yeah, it ends with us. That's at 135 domestic.
Yeah.
And it is at 283 worldwide.
Really strong for like an August release.
For an August drama.
Yeah.
A Quiet Place, day one, 138 domestic,
mm-hmm.
261 worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, 171 domestic. And 397 worldwide. I mm-hmm. can tell you right now that Disney is working hard to get that extra 3 million to get it to 400 million. Free Cinema Day is coming, or like cheap, so whatever they call it. Bad Boys Ride or Die, 193 domestic and 400 worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Twisters, 259 domestic and 356 worldwide. Despicable Me 4, 355 domestic and 913 worldwide. Mm-hmm. Deadpool and Wolverine, 603 domestic, 1.25 worldwide, 1.25 billion worldwide,
yep.
And Inside Out 2 of 651 million, 1.66 billion worldwide.
That's a lot of money.
The biggest animated movie of all time.
That's right.
So there's where we are numbers wise. But mm-hmm. before we get to how we did in all this, let's talk about the summer in general. We had a lot of movies come out, a lot of different kinds of things come out, what have you.
Yeah.
So in terms of some general thoughts here, Abe, why don't you you got the feedback open?
I've got the feedback open here.
I'll go over our big takeaways from the summer.
I do have that anime takeaways from the summer 2024 movie season. Mark Hoffman writes, "The Minions still got it, number 3 in the box office, right?"
Yeah.
So I guess so, I guess they still got it.
They seemingly never lost it.
Yeah.
that's where the Minions.
They also have their own spinoffs. Like they're never going to lose it. They are the face of Illumination now.
Yeah.
Mark Hoffmeyer, Mark Phil Hurd writes, "Underwhelming as a takeaway from the summer." Chris Leland has Anya Taylor-Joy and Chris Hemsworth rock. Max Haddad, friend of the show, writes, "When there's a strong vision and the filmmakers are allowed to do what they want to do, franchise sequels can be excellent. They can also be awful. I prefer the former." And Alan Aguilar, friend of the show. I should also mention all these are friends of the show. Alan Aguilar writes, "Lots of overreacting of movies dying overall instead of just having a few movies come out. A lot of big kerfuffle over our Twitter. Yet overall, it was a decent summer."
All right. Well, I mean, yeah, I agree with a lot of the sentiments there for sure.
I agree with Alan.
Well, Marcus, I have some thoughts. Do you have any thoughts on the summer in general? Any takeaways here?
My big takeaway was the indie scene. I think mm-hmm. this is the first time since streaming was big, I guess, the first time in a while that I've seen a lot of the non-blockbuster films that I got to see were in theaters. So I thought that was a big thing. I don't know if that's new or what, or if it's becoming more of a, like, I don't know if Thelma would have been that wide of a release. I don't know if it got a wider release, or if I don't know if something like Ghostlight got a wider release or something like that, but I got to see those in theaters, which that was my big takeaway from the summer.
Speaking to your points, I mean, you're not wrong. A part of it is because the front half of the summer was slightly delayed because of the strikes last year. So mm-hmm. just less movies in May.
Oh, okay.
And June, even though June picked up money wise, there was just more room for the smaller studios to release films on a wider basis, as opposed to rolling it out on a slower level. So like something like Thelma, which, 10-ish million, whatever it made, doesn't sound like a lot, but in the scheme of things, it was the biggest hit that, that what what's the studio, Magnolia ever had. I mean, so it's a credit to options being there that wouldn't normally be there because there's just a lack of supply on the some of the studio's part.
Definitely. I'd say overall the summer gets a big boom from me.
Thank you. Well, Abe, any thoughts you had?
No, wait. Was it hashtag boom or just boom?
I'm not. We don't.
Boom.
I don't need to give that any more credence.
Hashtag brain rot. This is all thanks to Marcus, by the way. When I was looking back at the summer and I was looking over all the releases, all the film scheduling, I basically had the same summation that Marcus and Alan had, which is, I think it was a decent summer. A lot of the things that were big were big. A lot of the things that were small, but also you did have a lot of indie films that kind of came out this summer that had, I think, a pretty large viewing audience, larger than perhaps they would have gotten if it was just temple after temple after temple. And I think I can't speak tonight. Aaron, to your point earlier, like when we were talking about this, the summer gamble at the beginning in May, you also astutely brought up that, you know, the writer's strike has kind of caused this summer to be maybe a little bit quieter, perhaps in terms of like some of the larger movies. So I think looking back at it, definitely like a decent summer, you know, it was fine. I think it wasn't something that I thought was explosive and had hit after hit coming out week over week.
I look at the top 10 alone and I really like at least four of these movies a lot. I mean, one of them, well, one's not in the top 10, but no, I mean, there's plenty, you know, it didn't ring to me in a sense that, you know, other summers were necessarily better or worse. It's just more of like, yeah, there's some hits that I really like. There's some I didn't. There's smaller films that get the certain kinds of attention that I generally expect. Some got a little bit more, which is great. But overall, like, no, there's just a wide swath of films that I did appreciate, and, you know, a handful that I didn't. So, I mean, it's hard to say, like, great summer or bad summer. There wasn't necessarily like a, you can't, you know, ask for a Barbenheimer every summer where there's the kind of best of both worlds where two movies facing off make like for the most positive result possible.
Yeah.
But in the realm of like what was a big hit, I don't have too much like issue with the films that are making money. Because I'm just looking at these and like, none of these are like offensively bad, even if I'm not super big on all of them that are present here. That said, as far as like other thoughts on the summer, I mean, Deadpool made a shit ton of money. It's the only Marvel release of the summer. And that just occurred to me like, yeah, duh. If you starve the audience of the MCU, they're going to come, you know, flying back the second they get a taste of it, let alone from something like Deadpool and Wolverine.
Marvel's back, baby.
I mean, it just adds up to me. The Bad Boys being as big as it was, right, is just like, that's another like, yes, Will Smith is still a movie star. You know, things that happened years ago that get talked about online don't relate to he's done, he's over. It's like, no, he's a giant movie star. Dark Horror paid off quite a bit. I find that to be interesting. There's lighter horror fare and horror comedies or whatnot that don't quite do as well, but, you know, Long Legs and Alien, and you know, some of these other darker horror films, not even just the rated R stuff, like the stuff that just like is more inclined to be grislier in some sense, or steeped in darker atmosphere, people seem to respond to that more than, I mean, like Cuckoo Made Nothing, like that's you know, that's a very entertaining horror film. Even The Strangers made money, but it's not as, you know, Long Legs made money, like and like Trapped is a thriller, but it's leans on the entertaining side of things more than it. So there's just something there. I mean, like, even Quiet Place is like dystopian. I mean, it's there's something there that I haven't quite nailed yet, but I find it to be a pattern, that something about the darkness that people seem to respond to. And yeah, we get more movies, more original ideas. Those don't seem, there's a lot of sequels in this list. A lot.
There are. Yeah.
Single one of these, except If and It Ends With Us, even The Fall Guy's a, you know, a TV remake. I mean, so,
and I think like Alan was saying, there's a lot of Twitter discourse or online discourse around just IP versus original film and everything like that. So yeah, I think we've covered a lot in this summer in terms of what was released by major studios but also like what you're saying, like the indie studios. I'm this great call out for the horror side of things, because when I was looking at the list, I was like, there actually are a lot of like R-rated like
horror things on here,
and I'm like, yeah, thematically horrific type of movies, which you don't really. It's not that it's uncommon. They usually kind of out in like August-ish, but yeah, like some of them came out earlier and carried. They had legs.
Even Coraline is, which is a horror.
That's
movie.
Great.
Yeah, it made more money in, you know, the 2 weeks it's been out than many other movies. It's like number 18 on the list of the summer.
The summer. Wow.
Yeah, the summer, which is not bad for Coraline. I mean, with that said, with the sequels in mind or whatnot, there are a lot of films here that represent, you know, directors with original voices, regardless if they're working on IP, because that's just what sells. There are enough films on here that represent like what directors, what is their thing, what they're bringing to a franchise, more than not, like, you know, like A Quiet Place. I could see the director of Pig making that movie. You know, King of the Planet of the Apes, Abe, you and I, we like Wes Ball. It's nice to see him doing what he was doing with that movie. Even the Bad Boys film, that's those directors just showing you what they got as guys that want to bring their own style to things. But all right, well, we'll talk more about the summer as we go through. But let's get to it. Let's get to the results of the 12th annual Summer Movie Gamble.
We can wait until the end.
No, we're doing it right the fuck now. That's what's happening. Last place is Marcus. That's not true. Okay.
You wait for the games until the end. You can't do this. Come on, man.
There's 17 games right after this, too. So, you know, be ready. Okay.
So your king doesn't ask for much.
He asked for a lot of attention. That's for sure. I have the results of the Summer Gamble. We had 17 contestants. We have 13 places, meaning there's a couple ties in here. And I'm just going to go through these down from the bottom up. And just to remind people how this works, we predicted the top 10 highest grossing films. The scoring system as it stands, if you get first place and 10th place dead on, you get 13 points. If you get two through nine dead on, that's 10 points. Mm-hmm. If you're one away from where you are, then that's 7 points. Two away, 5 points. If it's anywhere in the top 10, 3 points. We also each had three dark horses. If any of those dark horses landed in the top 10, that gets you an additional point. Mm-hmm. So say, for example, you predicted Bad Boys to come in at sixth and it came in at fifth. That means you'd get 7 points because you're one away from it.
Right.
And carry that formula forward. Sure. You don't have to do the math yourself because I already did it.
We've already done it.
So it's right there. So here we go. Let's go through this. What's the total possible points again? What is this? It'd be like,
if you got everything right?
If you got everything right, it'd be like 160. What is it?
Plus 10 times 9 through 7. 11, 8. 106. Plus three dark horse, so 109. Yeah.
Well, you couldn't get a dark horse if you got it all right, because they'd all be right. So
13 plus 13 plus 10 times 8, 106.
There you go. Okay. So
I went to college.
All right. Here we go. 13th place.
Whoa, lucky 13.
Lucky 13 goes to unlucky Luke Y. Thompson, 26 points. An impressively low score, honestly.
Hey.
Wow.
He tried.
Everyone tried. I'm not giving not credit to that. I will just say, having gone through the list of these, I was trying to think, have we gotten like a lower score?
And, probably from me, yeah.
So you do generally well, and you just
even in like
year.
Your bullshit picks, Marcus.
Yeah, I mean, last year you won with the lowest winning score we've ever had, so, which is just a reflection of how.
What did you say? I won. I got cut off. Everything after that got cut off.
It's a good point to make, actually. Last year we all did pretty poorly for whatever reason.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
This year we did a lot better, a hell of a lot better overall.
About at the beginning too, like a lot of like, you know, pushbacks into like the next year for big movies and et cetera.
Yeah, but even then we still managed to, you know, make some good guesses compared to last year. So yeah, Luke, had Bad Boys, Tarot, Furiosa, Garfield, Inside Out, If, Horizon, Deadpool, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and Despicable Me. So right away I can see like Kingdom is way too high. Horizon's weight is on the list. Furiosa and Garfield are all movies that just weren't on here to begin with. He had Quiet Place, Borderlands, and Fall Guys as dark horses. So he had like two
points. All three points there. Yeah.
2 points. Borderlands is.
Oh, Borderlands not in there. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a matter of just bad order and multiple films that weren't on the list. 12th place goes to Yancey Burns with 35 points.
Hey, kudos.
Yancey, let's see. He has Alien, Quiet Place, Bad Boys, Furiosa, The Fall Guy, Inside Out, Despicable Me 4, If, Kingdom, and Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that's just basically order. Like, he has most of the films that are on the top 10, with the exception of Alien. He had Twisters in his Dark Horse. That got him a point. But, yeah. 11th place goes to Peter Paris with 41 points. Peter has Kingdom, Horizon, Bad Boys, Garfield, Quiet Place, Fall Guy, Inside Out, Despicable Me, Twisters, and Deadpool. A pattern that you will see emerge is that most people did not pick Inside Out, and then it was a scramble as far as what their one and two spots were, if it's Despicable Me or Deadpool. Inside Out being the top, that makes a big difference for a lot of these.
Certainly, yeah. Like what you're saying for the other two, like Yancey and Luke, a lot of just order.
Yeah. Yeah, for this one, for sure. Alan is in 10th place with 42 points.
Good job, Alan.
He has Kingdom, Horizon, Twisters, Quiet Place, Furiosa, If, The Fall Guy, Deadpool, Inside Out 2, and Despicable Me. So Horizon being in there, Kingdom too low, Furiosa being in there. Next up, we have our first tie. We have 9th place with Adam and Jose. Adam Gentry and Jose Cordova at 47 points. Adam did have Inside Out 2 at his number one pick, but he has Borderlands, Alien, Twisters, Fall Guy, Kingdom, Quiet Place, Deadpool, Furiosa, Despicable Me 4, Inside Out. So Furiosa way too. Ooh, Furiosa is in there, which doesn't need to be. Alien's in there, and Borderlands is in there. So just three movies that didn't need to be there, by the way. That didn't help. And Jose has Horizon, Furiosa, Fall Guy, Kingdom, Quiet Place, Twisters, Garfield, number four, Deadpool, Inside Out 2, and Despicable Me 4. So again, multiples that aren't in there, out of order, what have you. There you
right.
go. Eighth place, we have Philip Price and Terrence Johnson at 48 points. Philip has Twisters, Quiet Place, Kingdom, If, Furiosa, The Fall Guy, Bad Boys, Inside Out, Deadpool, Ziggle B. So that's mainly order. Terrence has If, Twisters, Garfield, Bad Boys, Quiet Place, Furiosa, Kingdom, Inside Out, Despicable Me, and Deadpool. So again, mostly order, but Garfield and Furiosa being in there, not helping. Next up is seventh place of Brandon Peters with 49 points, our global champion, still our only global champion.
Good job, Brandon.
He has Quiet Place, Fall Guy, Garfield, Furiosa, Twisters, Kingdom, Bad Boys, Inside Out, Deadpool, Despicable Me. So yeah, that's largely order. And that dreaded Garfield really messed the people up.
I admire the people that put Garfield in there, just in terms of like animation, a lot of family stuff, you know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, not a terrible pick. I think I chose that as Dark Horse too.
You admire me because
I don't admire because it's wrong.
Oh, okay. All
right. It's a good Dark Horse pick because it's at number 11. Like, he was almost there. It's literally like under 800,000 away from being in the top 10, but it didn't make it. What's next is sixth place with Maxwell with 50 points. Maxwell has Twisters, Garfield, Fall Guy, Furiosa, Kingdom, Quiet Place, Bad Boys, Deadpool, Inside Out, Swill B. So a couple not in there.
Break 50, though.
That's Break great. 50.
Yeah.
Fifth place is Mark Hoban with 52 points. Mark has Quiet Place, Bad Boys, If, Kingdom, Furiosa, Fall Guy, Twisters, Deadpool, Inside Out, and Despicable Me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's mainly order with the Furiosa. Furiosa is also another one that just tripped most everybody up, pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was fifth place. Fourth floor, we're getting down to it, guys.
We're getting down to the winners here.
I'm over Mark, my rival.
Wow. Well, you don't know how literal that term might be, because fourth place is both you and Abe.
Boom. Storm the Capitol.
55 points.
The Capitol.
So you got a better score than last year.
Yeah.
Better score than last year. And this is one of Abe's higher scores as well.
It is, yes, yeah.
That crown is coming off, sir.
Storm the Capitol.
Yeah, just let the listeners know there was a 5-minute silence before Marcus started talking again.
He was completely so stunned.
I had to edit that down. Abe, you had Horizon, Twisters, Fall Guy, Quiet Place, Kingdom, Furiosa, Bad Boys, Inside Out, Deadpool, and Despicable Me.
Yep.
So yeah, Horizon and Furio is a trip.
Horizon, yeah, definitely Horizon, not a great idea. I think I had some Dark Horses that I don't think any of them got in there. So
yeah, no, yeah.
So. Which yeah, same I think with me.
Yeah, Marcus, you had so you're another Inside Out tour, but you had Trap, Twisters, Kingdom, Quiet Place, Garfield, Bad Boys, Furiosa, Deadpool, this will be an Inside Out. So yeah, you had you had three that were in there.
Yeah.
Despite having you had Inside Out, but you swapped Deadpool and Despicable Me. And then yeah, everything else is lining up. But yeah, just having the three that weren't in there, that just didn't help you.
Right. But 55, not bad.
55 points is pretty good.
Yeah, top four, but Marcus.
Not good enough for third place, though, which is Mark Hoffmeyer. 56 points.
Oh, off by one.
Off by one. He had Fall Guy, Bad Boys, Quiet Place, Kingdom, Twisters, Garfield, Furiosa, Inside Out, Deadpool, and Despicable Me. So yeah, that towards the bottom there, Garfield and Furiosa, that kept him back. But otherwise, pretty solid list. He had Fall Guy at the bottom, which is, I mean, that's 13 points. So there you go. That's a he had that going for him. Second place. Oh man, here we go. It's another tie between Jay Kluwit and perennial loser Scott Mendelson.
Oh wow, jeez,
never won. Still hasn't won. Scott Mendelson, box office expert.
Yeah, box office guru Scott Mendelson.
Loved by the industry. Yeah. Can't.
I know, I won before he did. That's wild.
He had 57. They had 57 points.
Right.
Jay Kluwit had Fall Guy number 10. Again, number the Deep Blue Sea podcast boys. They had the Fall Guy right on dead on the money. Horizon, Garfield, Furiosa, Kingdom, Quiet Place, Bad Boys, Inside Out, Deadpool, and Despicable Me. That Garfield Furiosa combo is deadly.
Yeah.
It's taking a lot of people down. Scott Mendelson had too much love for Shyamalan because he put Trap at number 10, then The Fall Guy, Quiet Place, If, Bad Boys, Twisters, Kingdom, Inside Out 2, Despicable Me 4, and Deadpool.
I told him not to do that. I know.
It's largely order and then just putting all that faith into Trap. Although he's like the one person that put Furiosa in his Dark Horses. He's the one person that didn't have Furiosa in his top 10. So he knew. Just like Mark Ruffalo. Now,
maybe he does have some box office chops then.
Now, there's only one name missing.
Only one name that has
only
not been
one
called.
One name that hasn't been called yet. That's number one. Now, it looks like, let me squint really hard because that makes me read better, I guess. Oh, I see. It's me at number one with 80 points.
80 points?
80 points. Let me just put this on really quickly.
Okay, you had that. Wait a minute.
80 points is
80 points.
Yeah, 80 points is
he's fixing it.
Quite a lot of points.
He's adjusting
Aaron,
it.
How did you do this?
80 points.
Yeah,
I didn't top my own record. I think it's 81, but I was very surprised to see how big this number was.
Yeah.
First up, none of my dark horses made it.
That's all right. You made it up for it.
I made up for it by having the fucking best list in here. I should have had an Enzopus over one of these dark horses because that would have helped. No, Blake Lively literally saved me because that movie being where it was, that movie jumping in like shifted everything in my favor. I have the Fall Guy at number 10, dead on. I have If at number 9, dead on.
Yep.
I have A Quiet Place at 8, one away. Mm-hmm. I have Bad Boys at 7, two away. Furiosa, doesn't matter. Twisters, one away. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, two away. Despicable Me 4, dead on. Deadpool, dead on. Inside Out 2, dead on. I crushed this.
Can you didn't you switch those? Like,
I switched those because of you. Yeah. Because of you, Marcus. Right. I switched Inside Out.
Yeah. Aaron had a last minute change.
I'm never gonna drag another person of color down. I'm happy to give this over.
I'm happy to give it over.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
The chat has been saved from insufferable Marcus gifts.
You think those are ending?
If you haven't, not everybody's in this GIF or this chat with us, but Marcus has been gloating for the past 12 months about how great he is at choosing movies.
I'm curious about how many people hate that. Like they don't, they just absolutely detest when I put something. They move on.
They just mute the chat.
Yeah, they just, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, oh wow, people are gonna get a kick out of this. This is so funny. I'm hilarious. And I'm I got Brandon gassing me up because he thinks it's funny, and that's it.
Pretty sure everybody else is just like, again.
Yeah, everybody's like,
oh. Every time there's a message or notification, it's like, fucking Marcus. Aaron, congratulations, sir.
Thank
80
you.
Points yes. is amazing.
Thank yes. you. I was very satisfied seeing, yeah. I added all these numbers up like four times each, and I was like, okay, geez.
Yeah.
I did mine last because I got dead nervous. On,
which is amazing. And the first and last, which is the most important, 13 points each.
Oh, yeah. That was key, right? Though. That's 26 yeah. points my way. Last year, I had 33 points.
That's as many points as Luke has.
Last year, I did terrible. I had 33 points. It sucked.
I mean, it was ebbs and flows, just like the ocean.
Not for sure. The average this year, by the way, 49.7.
Yeah.
They're like weirdly skewed because both Luke is so low and I'm so high. If you take sure. those away, we're in the 50s. Like, that's a solid.
It's pretty good. That's solid pretty good. Score. Solid yeah, it's pretty good tea leaf reading from all of us.
We did. I was looking over the past. We've had some very accurate stinkers. Past. We've had yeah. some stinkers, but like, let's see, like 20. Where is it? Yeah, 2019 was crazy because we all were at least in the 50s, most mm-hmm. of the 60s, 70s. It was a big year. But yeah, this year I was very happy to see these, especially because it was so. We had some thoughts on where things were going to go this summer. The things shook out pretty well, so I was pretty mm-hmm. happy to see these.
Where did you get that crown? I'm curious.
I mean, that's
I obviously had it made special.
No, he got it from buying a Babar book.
No.
I went to Biggie.com and they got crowns.
Biggie.com.
Got it. Yes, I'm familiar.
I'll also note we had two friends of the show submit their own top 10 lists as well. We had Ruben Acevedo, friend of the show, and happy that he's had an eventful year, and I'm happy that he's doing very well.
Yes.
He had if number 10, Horizon, Quiet Place, Furiosa, Kingdom, Fall Guy, Inside Out, Deadpool, Twisters, and Despicable Me. He had 48 points there. And then Chris Cleland, friend of the show, he had 10 at Garfield, Fall Guy, Kingdom, Quiet Place, Trap, Bad Boys, Inside Out 2, Furiosa, Despicable Me 4, and Deadpool and Wolverine with 52 points. I feel like they submitted, they did pretty good. We should give them a little prize. We should
yeah.
send a surprise their way. So stay tuned, you guys, for something special for you.
Does fourth place get anything?
You get to be on this podcast.
Yeah. We get a glimpse that we were in top four.
You're both here. See, it worked out.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you for vanquishing Marcus's reign.
I see. Now I know why you brought me on.
To humiliate you, of course.
I brought you on because you were last year's champion.
Yeah. Wow. This is what we do every season, Marcus.
Does it make me satisfied that you're tearfully removing your crown right now and the belt is like, it's doing like a weird, like at the end of a fantasy movie where you defeat the bad guy and everything just like vanquishes into dust? And it's weird that your belt just like suddenly did that and there's a green smoke left behind. I mean, this is a preview for Wicked 2, like...
Wicked 2?
Yeah, I assume Part 2 ends with something
part
like that.
Two.
If Brandon can talk about his championship every single second of the day, I can do it too.
Brandon's always global champion. I'm there's always a big difference.
There's not that big of a difference.
What is a champion? What's a global champion? It's that simple.
I came from
like
the bottom.
Shang Tsung leads the Mortal like Kombat, but what's his face?
Yeah?
Keep going.
Yeah?
It's
Goro?
Not Goro.
Keep going. Raiden?
Not Raiden. What's the guy that? What's the overall emperor? Hold on.
Oh, the overall.
It's with a K. Shao Kahn. Kahn. He leads the whole damn thing. Shang Tsung's just like the Earth realm representative.
Right.
Shao Kahn. Yeah. You know, that's where Brandon is. He's Shao Kahn.
Once right a champion, now. Always a champion. I'm gonna post right now on the feed.
Once a champion, always a champion.
I mean, this is true. You do get a gold jacket, but you know,
yeah, you're like an ex-president. They like they treat you nicely at the restaurants, and you
yeah,
get
to, and you still get Secret Service detail.
Yeah, yeah you get you. To wear you can wear like khakis and a sport coat, but you don't have to wear yeah. a suit everywhere you go.
But you don't get to meet the president of France anymore.
Oh, okay.
Unless you're Jimmy Carter, because I just assume he's cool with everybody.
Yeah.
Well, what's next, Aaron?
What's next? We're going to talk about the summer a little bit more. Let's go over some of our favorites, our least favorites, and other things of that nature. And first up, let's start with our top. Let's start with our favorite blockbusters of the summer. Mm-hmm. Hey, why don't you go over what the listeners gave us about that?
The listeners over the summer, best blockbusters, favorite blockbusters of the summer. Todd Labino has Furiosa, Twisters, and Alien Romulus. Chris Leland has Furiosa and Alien Romulus. Alan Aguilera has Twisters. Philip Hurd writes Twisters as well. And David Maloof writes, I'd put Furiosa right at the top of the list, followed by Abigail. And then violent nature puts a great twist on slasher horror. Twisters was fun and really felt like a retro 90s filmmaking. Alien Romulus is a love affair and love letter to the fans, and it's really fun. But it was also there were also a few problems. After initially finding Deadpool and Wolverine a fun ride, its lack of cohesive storytelling and jumbled and incoherent plot has moved it down a few notches for me. David, with a great review of the summer for him.
I agree with pretty much everything you said. Right?
Yeah.
How about you guys? What are your favorite blockbusters of the summer? Marcus, any favorites?
My top favorite is the thing that got me my fourth place crown, Inside Out 2. I think it introduced anxiety. The idea of growing up, you're less happy, especially when you lose titles. I think it's a great companion to, of course, it's slightly a step down, but I think Inside Out 2015 was like watershed movie. Mm-hmm. And this being a little bit slightly less of a movie is still a great movie. And, you know,
hey, $1.5 billion worth of people agreed with you. So.
Yeah. Thank you.
Abe, how about you?
In terms of like some of the favorites, blockbusters, I only had a few. King of the Planet of the Apes, which I thought was better than I expected it to be, especially considering what we talked about during the review, which is a lack of the Caesar character, but also what's his face, Gollum,
Andy Serkis,
yeah, not having him there too. But like our guy, like we said, our guy Wes Ball kind of came through for us. And then another one that I really enjoyed was A Quiet Place Day One, which, again, I was kind of caught off guard by. I wasn't really sure what to expect, but I thought that it was actually pretty decent. And then the last one is Alien Romulus. I thought it was good, not great, but at the same time, I'm kind of surprised by the overall incredibly positive response, but I think also much more of a blockbuster response, like the box office response to it.
Because
kind of just hearing what you guys had talked about, like saying, this is going to go to Hulu and it was not going to be in theaters. Like you never know. Take your chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
shoot your shot.
Yeah. I tiered this a little bit. So if I was going for like a bronze, I really liked Fall Guy and Quiet Place about the same. Like those kind of sit there on that tier. Silver would be Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, cause it's just really solid. And then gold, easily Furiosa for me. Yeah. That movie rules.
It's so like our mid-year check-in, that was like your number one, right?
It's top to bottom, the best. It was great. That's where I'm at with my blockbusters. And I rewatched Furiosa not too long ago because it came out on 4K recently.
Yeah,
it's just gorgeous to look at. I'm just happy to like own it as like art. But the action and that centerpiece sequence of the fucking truck. Just going against all the scavengers and whatnot coming at it, and just seeing seeing George Miller unleash his skill there.
Yeah,
it's just second to none. He's just
the parachuting and like the flight suits. Great.
All that stuff and the camera movements to like capture all of it.
Yeah,
and then I look at less good action movies. I'm like, he's doing this right here. He's 80 years old. Like, what do you?
We'll get to The Crow in a bit, Aaron.
What's your excuse? speaking of The Crow, least favorites of the summer. Least favorites of the summer. We got a few things here from our listeners. Laxwell Haddad, of course, has Deadpool and Wolverine. He was not a fan. Todd Libano has The Crow. Chris Cleveland has The Crow. Jay Cluett has Long Legs. Wasn't a fan of Long Legs.
Wow.
Luke White Thompson writes, The Mandela Effect Phenomenon, a documentary, in quotes, that featured all of two people shouting insane religious conspiracy nonsense ready for YouTube. So don't watch the Mandela Effect Phenomenon. At least a message there. And Philip Hearn writes, The Bike Riders was a little bit of a letdown.
Okay.
How about you guys? Marcus, what was your least favorite film this summer?
I didn't have any films that I would deem like unwatchable. Like I didn't see Tyler Perry's Divorce in the Black or Despicable Me 4. But I did have.
I'm like, what a pairing!
What a pairing! It's definitely worth saying. Yes.
But I think I did. I did have two movies that were kind of like a waste of time, and they were The Watchers, which I just was 20 minutes in. I was kind of like uninterested, and I think the point is to try want to know what happens at the end. And
you didn't feel like watching anymore.
I watched it and I was pissed when and when the reveal was had because I don't know, it felt really long to me too. So anyway, also The Strangers Chapter One, I just super unnecessary. Why am I watching this when I can just watch other things that do the same exact anyway?
Like The Strangers, the same
like The
movie.
Strangers, like yeah. The same Since movie,
the same movie.
Yeah. Yes. So yeah, those are probably like the ones that wasted my time the most.
Sure.
The Strangers certainly is the most annoying film of the year because it's like, I watched this and it's, like you said, unnecessary, but they've already shot two sequels.
Yeah.
So like, so I'm going to watch, I have to complete this. I'm like annoyed by that. And I'm only hoping that it gets better now that they've gotten the let's do it again out of their system, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. Abe, how about you? Where are you with the least favorites of the summer?
I only wrote two down. One of them is If, John Krasinski's If.
I know you're
Which we...
Because it's
we,
bad. If
yeah, so, Aaron and I have discussed this ad nauseum offline. Okay. And I'm happy to go into details.
And it's reared its ugly head again a few times online.
And then the other is a movie that we recently talked about, which is The Crow, which I did not add Borderlands in here because at least I said for Borderlands, it's watchable. It just is a mess.
Yeah.
The Crow is like, we discussed it very at length too, just like
over an hour.
Why did they even feel like they needed to make this movie kind of thing? Only wrote those two down.
I agree.
I got a few here, just to beat another ground, I guess. But I try to give these Despicable Me films the benefit of the doubt, but this one really tested me.
It's great that you still watch them, though.
I was so bored.
I'm so bored
watching it.
I didn't watch it.
It was just not. And that's not even like a least favorite. It's just more of like, I'm trying, guys, but I just don't think this is for me.
Sure.
As far as just like bad films go, Tarot, which I caught up with on Netflix, was pretty awful.
That was bad.
Unfrosted, the Jerry Seinfeld movie, is
Was that on Hulu?
Bad. Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh my god, that was terrible.
Yeah.
Back to Black, the Amy Winehouse thing.
Amy Winehouse film.
That was not only was it bad, I felt it was like insulting as far as how I was trying to handle things.
Yeah. Just watch the documentary, right?
Yeah, watch Amy because it's far better.
Yeah.
And also watch Amy because it's telling the right story as far as what to attribute things to, as opposed to kind of boiling it down in ways that feel insulting.
Yeah.
Oh,
The Crow would have been my least favorite of the summer because it's pretty awful. But then, guys, on Friday I went and saw Afraid with John Cho.
John Cho, yeah.
Winston, and that movie is awful.
Oh, the AI one.
Afraid.
They emphasize the ad. This is like ambulance.
Afraid. Except where ambulance like rules, Afraid doesn't rule. It's and they're both set in LA.
Should have had more singing.
It's a movie that feels like there's clearly 20 minutes that have been taken out of this because it's like less than 80 minutes long. It's one of the quickest, like the premise is like there's an AI inside this house and it's like helping out the family.
It's like overprotective, maybe like overstepping the boundaries kind of thing.
It's overstepping. It's not even overprotective. It's being very unprotected, which is kind of the issue. But like it goes from this actually doesn't seem bad, this seems pretty useful, to horror movie in like the quickest, most jarring way possible. And like, wait, wasn't there like what happened? Where's the middle where we see the
where's Jimmy world?
Yeah, where? Yeah. I want to bleed America, goddammit.
So not great. That was actually great. It made your worst of list for the summer.
If I was to make a worst of list, it would serve. Now, that said, it's entertainingly bad in its own way, but it's still
in
bad.
In a fun way?
Fun as far, like, not as in, like, I'm laughing with it, because it's certainly trying to be a thing and trying to say something about AI, and it's bad. But in terms of, like, things occur, and I'm like, this is stupid, and I'm laughing at this. The Crow is not fun, so I mean, it goes either way. Doesn't matter. They're both bad movies. Next up here, what do we have? What were your favorite non-blockbuster summer releases?
Favorite non from our listeners, we have Todd Lubina writes Horizon. Phil Hurt has
not a blockbuster, that's for sure.
Yeah. Alan Aguilar has Long Legs. Mark Hoffmeyer has Bike Riders, In a Violent Nature, and Sing Sing. Tyler Wink has Long Legs, and Chris Cleveland has Oddity.
Ooh, Oddity. That's a good pick. That's a good one.
I think you two have both talked about it at some point too.
Yeah, that's a solid one to watch for sure. Look out for it. That's streaming now, I believe. So
yeah, that's good.
Marcus, any what are your favorite non-blockbuster movies?
I mentioned Ghostlight before. Thelma, I had mentioned, but also Dee Dee and Sing Sing. Those two were some of the best casts that I've seen in all year. Mm-hmm. I wish I could spend more time with both of those movies because of the characters. But yeah, those are the four.
Very good, Abe.
Hilariously, I haven't seen three of these movies, but I wrote them down because I knew that you guys liked them and they have to be good. So I also wrote down Thelma, Ghostlight, Sing Sing, but I did write down Dee Dee and also Hitman as like non-blockbusters that I thought were things that you should definitely go check out for if you have time or if they're still playing in summer in theaters this at the tail end of the summer / Labor Day. Definitely go check him out.
For sure.
Yeah. Hitman I have on here. Kinds of Kindness, Yorgos Lanthimos's.
Is interesting.
That's a Disney Plus favorite.
Super family friendly film.
Exactly.
Marcus, did you get to see Kinds of Kindness?
I did.
Were you?
I did.
I know you've been hit or miss on Lanthimos as of late, it seems.
Of the first story, I was a fan because it was very interesting.
Okay.
I think of the last story I wasn't.
Okay.
And the middle one, I can't even remember.
Middle one's where she comes back after being lost at sea.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I liked it. I liked it, but the ending for me wasn't that final kind of whatever wasn't.
Fair enough. But yeah, Long Legs, I was a big fan of. There's a small movie called Last Stop in Yuma County that I think is fantastic, and I hope more people will check out
that one.
That's Jim Cummings.
Yes,
He stars in that one. It's just a solid little thriller.
Sure.
That I really recommend. And then Ghostlight and Sing Sing are just two of the best films of the year. I mean, those movies rule.
Yeah.
So certainly a lot of things to check out. Sing Sing, which is like currently still expanding, still getting more theaters. So certainly good to see it. All right, so let's see. Next up here, we have biggest surprises and biggest disappointments. Todd Liebenau, his biggest surprise was Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F. His biggest disappointment, a lot of Fs. Jason Hemming, The Vern, he has biggest surprise, The Fall Guy. Biggest disappointment, Alien Romulus.
Understandable.
Okay.
Chris Cleland, biggest surprise was Bad Boys, really good fun. Biggest disappointment was definitely Trap. I was so looking forward to it. Philip Hurd has Horizon was my biggest surprise, and I liked Quiet Place Day One, but not as much as I would have liked to. And then Luke Thompson, he writes, I'm both surprised and disappointed that people are more easily impressed with the Inside Out movies than I am. The sequel's depiction of Anxiety's domain as an animation sweatshop really seemed like a cry from help coming from the inside the house.
I related to it. Damn it.
I mean, that's a good read, Luke.
Because of the sweatshop you run, Marcus, or what?
Haven't you heard of his company, Marcus Incorporated?
I know. Come on.
And obviously, I think that's a sweatshop.
And we make crowns.
and belts.
And belts.
How about you guys, Marcus? Any surprises and disappointments you have here?
Okay. I know I'm not going to... I'm going to be the odd person out in the room. But I liked Deadpool. And Wolverine.
We liked the movie.
I'm not a big fan of Deadpool. I think Ryan Reynolds is kind of, as the main focus, is kind of annoying.
Oh, that's definitely me. That's me all over.
But this one worked. Maybe it was, I mean, I know he was the front guy, but maybe it was cut with cameos and callbacks and Hugh Jackman. And maybe that's all I need to be satisfied with a Marvel movie. I have no idea. But also Quiet Place Day One, I had super low expectations for this. And it was not just coherent. I enjoyed the focus of this story.
I'm just scared. Why'd you have super low expectations?
Because I didn't know what they could do. And I had seen Day One on the second one. They had like a little segment of like the first day.
Right. Which the, I thought was great. So
which town. Was great.
Yeah. Make, so make I was that, like, make that 90 minutes. That's what I said.
I was like, how are they going to make this 90 minutes? Unless, you know, and they did, because they focused on Lupita Nyong'o's character, who Lupita can do no wrong. She's amazing. And, you know, the story, the focus was great, but she elevates this thing.
I mean, that's why she signs up, right? That's how I was.
That's why she signs up. That's true.
I was like, I wasn't too concerned. I was like, well, if Lupita Nyong'o joned on this thing, she probably saw a good script, right?
I was hoping so. As far as like let's see, disappointments, I would say if I had to pick two, okay, I'd pick Maxine. Not a movie that I hated or anything. I'm such a big fan of Pearl, and okay, I had high expectations for this, but I was blinded because this is the Maxine, right, that I'm seeing. This is Maxine is the kind of the Ty West that I know and I'm accustomed to seeing. And it was coming back down to earth for me for Ty. That's fine. This is the caliber that I'm accustomed to from him. Also, there's another movie, and I saw the TV Glow.
Okay.
I'm not disappointed in the movie. I feel like it's doing something special. It's saying something important, but I feel like I didn't grasp it enough, so it's disappointed in me. Like, I feel like this movie is disappointed in me, so that's why I put it on here. It was a little frustrating for me, but I liked it and I felt stuff, but I just couldn't get over that hump to kind of grasp onto it.
Have you only watched it the once?
I've only watched it the once and it was in theaters, so and I need to watch it again.
So I've watched it three times at this point, and it's because it's the movie I most like rewatching in terms of I feel like I'm unlocking more by doing so.
That's fair.
Like it, that's fair. Because I'm like, I'm not over the moon for it as far as its
sure
quality, but I would say it's the most interesting to me as far as I want to keep digging into this.
Yeah,
because I don't feel like I'm certainly not disliking it. It's just more, it's doing something that I like. I'm trying to like keep turning the dial to find the right frequency for.
Is that considered a summer movie? Because it came out like
May, right? Yeah, May is the summer.
Do we start in May or June?
We start in May. The fall guys, the kickoff. Oh, okay. We're not going by the solstice. We're going by the season of movies, which is always the beginning of May. It's
kickoff. Bueno.
Yeah.
No, but those would be my two, I guess.
Fair enough. Abe, how about you? What are your surprises and disappointments?
I sort of have one for each. Surprises, A Quiet Place Day One. Like what Marcus was saying, not really sure what to expect. Kind of with the track record with A Quiet Place, which you and I are famously famous for. And then Quiet Place Part Two, which I think we both thought was better.
An improvement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, an improvement. But like what Marcus was saying, I wasn't sure what to expect. I kind of was like, how can you take this in a different direction? And what I found and discovered was that it's this movie about death and grief and acceptance of it. And I was like, this is a really profound statement to make. I think that you and I have discussed that the ending maybe we kind of differ on, but I think that Joseph Quinn and Lupita Nyong'o both very good in the movie. So really good, outstanding performances in a movie that is pretty crisp in its runtime too, and in editing. One of the biggest disappointments, I don't think it's a disappointment necessarily, but kind of like what one of our commenters was saying, I would put Inside Out 2 here because I think there's a lot of ideas that are in that movie that I was hoping that they would either explore a little bit further and or maybe take some additional time to go a different route than maybe what they did with Inside Out, the first one. So not a disappointment necessarily, just I think with that Pixar magic that we've kind of either come to expect or kind of have seen in some of their more recent things like Luca or I can't even think of the name. Big Red Panda? That's not what it's called.
Big Red Panda.
What is it called?
Red something. Big Red Panda.
Big Red Panda. I love that title.
I like that.
That's like the Asylum version that they would release. Coming to sci-fi, Big Red Panda.
Big Red Panda. with some of those themes and also how they were letting directors kind of come back in to the fray and just doing personal stories to some degree. Like it was kind of watching Inside Out 2, I think that I was okay with it. I didn't fall in love with it.
Fair. As far as my surprise and disappointment, surprises, I got a couple
bigger, or at least higher profile ones, and two smaller profile ones. Big Blink Twice was a big surprise for me, because I didn't expect to like it as much as I did. It's a really solid debut from Zoe Kravitz. It has a great cast. I like what it's doing and how it's doing it. Have either of you seen Blink Twice yet?
Not yet.
Yeah, I saw it.
You have? There's a movie I don't want to reference, but I like this movie because it does what that other movie tried to do a hell of a lot better. Mm-hmm. And I was very happy with that. Mm-hmm. And I just like this cast. I think it's just, it's fun despite its implications of what's happening.
Sure.
The other one is Beverly Hills Cop Axel F. Easily. We are so down on the kind of Netflix releases and what have you. But fucking Jerry Bruckheimer came in and is like, guys, we're going to do this right. And they made a fun movie, like a really just a fun Beverly Hills Cop movie that made me so happy. By default, like the second best Beverly Hills. It just does the job.
But I was going to say, I think also what really helped out is Eddie Murphy really seemed like he
wanted to be there for sure. Yeah. And so, yeah, I the trailers looked pretty decent. So I wasn't expecting a disaster, but I was happy that I was like, I know I really like this a lot. I've watched it a couple times. On the smaller side, there's a movie called Fresh Kills that I've mentioned before, directed by Jennifer Esposito.
Yes.
Her passion project that she also spent all of her own money on, but doesn't have nearly as much exposure as Kevin Costner. This movie's great, and now you can watch it very easily on Canopy or Hoopla, so I certainly recommend it. But it's just a really good movie that I just came out of nowhere. I was like, oh, this is not just like good, it's really good. And then Life After Fighting, another movie that I just came out of nowhere for me that I just saw recently. The best DTV action movie that I'm sure I'll see this year. Just really kicks ass. Just a lot of great action sequence in it. Also on Hoopla. Just making things easy for you guys. These are all easy to see.
Doing your public and local library.
Yeah, and watch a kick-ass action movie, Life After Fighting. On the disappointment side, I'm with you on Inside Out 2, where I like Inside Out pretty well. I think it's a solid film, but it's not one of my favorite Pixar movies. And Inside Out 2, I was like, all right, like more Pixar. Can't be mad at this. And I was underwhelmed by what it was doing. I still liked the movie, but I can't say that I was fully on board with it in the way that I would have liked to be for a Pixar film. But the real disappointment, obviously, was the Shyamalan combo. I wanted Watchers to be something, because I think Ishana Shyamalan, she's directed some of those episodes of Servants on Apple, which I quite like. I was like, she has style, so let's see what her movie's like. And it didn't really do much for me. And then Trap, I was disappointed by. I was looking forward to that because I thought the premise was pretty solid, and I wasn't a fan. It's the one that I look forward to rewatching again the most.
Yeah, I was just I kind of want to rewatch it after hearing your thoughts about it. I was like, I wonder if I just was too on the juice train for it.
So. I'm the one in the minority here, so it's a little more mixed. It's not it's supremely positive, but there's a lot of people that really like Trap, and I'm certainly in the not so much. And to the extent that I don't think Hartnett's good in it. That's my main issue is that I'm not with him. And even people that don't really like the movie still think Hartnett's fantastic in it. So I don't know. So I look forward to seeing it again. Maybe I'll sway a little bit or so, but we'll see what happens. It'll be streaming soon enough. But yeah, those ones. That for a summer that was going to have two Shyamalan pictures, and the fact that I was not really pleased by either of them, I was like, oh, that's unfortunate, because I wanted to root for this. I will say the most whelming film of the summer, easily Deadpool and Wolverine. It's a movie that is completely fine, very safe. I laughed, and then I walked away, and I'm like, what the hell was this? there's nothing here. And it's made so much money, and I'm happy for them and all that. But Sean Levy did exactly what I expected Sean Levy to do, which was make a movie that has no authority whatsoever and just wants to give the fans what they want, which is, hey, look at all this icing on the cake. Icing. Nothing else.
When we have our annual Northern California Movie Critics Club meeting with me, Aaron, and Marcus, we'll talk more about it.
I am happy for Marcus everyone that enjoyed Deadpool and Wolverine. I am happy that they've all seen it and had a great time. I had a fun time, and then I looked at it a little closer, and I'm like, wait a minute, hold on here. Yeah. All right.
Those memberships to the club are going up with Costco, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's because we've got double chocolate chunk cookies now.
All those fucking crowns you bought raised the prices.
Yeah, exactly. Margins the sweatshop.
Gotta pay for all this. So that's the summer. We'll cover the summer here. But okay, last thing here. What are the films you were looking forward to most this fall? Chris Cleland has The Substance and Terrifier 3. I will say right now, we may or may not do a full review on The Substance, but that is a movie to see in a theater.
Oh, wow. It is
very entertaining.
Substance, okay.
At the very least, you will have, it's a hell of a ride to watch that
movie. Is that Demi Moore?
Yes.
Okay.
And obviously Terrifier 3. Alan Aguilera has Gladiator 2, Blitz, that's the new Steve McQueen film, The Complete Unknown, that's the Bob Dylan film, Nosferatu, Conclave, that's the new Edward Berger film from All Quiet on the Western Front, Woman of the Hour, Night Bitch with Amy Adams, and what's that? That's Can You Ever Forgive Me, that director. Lee with Kate Winslet, Saturday Night, the Jason Reitman film, Smile 2, and A Real Pain with Jesse Eisenberg and Kieran Culkin. Marcus, what films are you looking forward to this fall?
Of course, Terrifier 3, because I'm taking Abe.
I so want this to happen. I want to see like 40 pictures from like you picking them up to you getting into the theater.
I'm literally going to be sitting next to Marcus like with my hands.
There
over
is
my
no,
head, like
you would
this.
Walk out. I think Abe would walk out.
No, I wouldn't walk out. I'd
you don't
like,
think so?
I think I'd be laughing and be like, Marcus, this is gross.
Yeah, I might be right there with you. Yeah. Okay. Terrifier 3, Nosferatu. Denzel's doing another August Wilson.
Yeah, the piano lesson.
It
just premiered at Venice or Telluride this afternoon, I believe.
I'm looking forward to that. Smile 2. I liked Smile, so Smile 2. That Vince McMahon documentary on Netflix.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking
I've
forward
heard
to that.
Some terrible things about that guy.
Is it called I'm Definitely Not Racist? Please Don't Hurt Me?
No, that's Hulk Hogan.
Well, that's the Hulk Hogan one.
That's the Hulk Hogan.
Oh, they both share that? They both share that title?
The Front Room with Brandy. Because I like the way that lady...
That's another movie that is a wild ride.
In the trailer, I like the way that lady says... they call that a broken family.
That's Catherine Hunter from Macbeth.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Yes,
it is.
That's
right. It is a big performance that you will very much have enjoyment out of.
I'm here for this. Yeah. And also there's a Clarissa Shields documentary biopic coming out called Fire Inside, maybe something like that. And I'm a big combat sports fan.
Is she an MMA
she's
person?
A boxer. Like she's like one of the biggest boxers.
Okay.
Most decorated boxers from Olympics and professional. So.
All right. Abe, how about you? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I wrote a few down here. One of them is new because it's been making a lot of buzz at the festivals right now. It's The Brutalist. So I'm looking forward to checking that out. The Outrun, which people have been talking about with Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah.
Anora, which won, I think,
the Palme d'Or.
And I've been avoiding every trailer and not listening to anything. So I'm checking that out. And that's from, I mean, we like him on the show here. Sean Baker. We've all, I think that Aaron, you and I both really enjoyed Tangerine when it first came out. And also I enjoyed the way that Sean Baker kind of like thinks about films and personalities and people. But also, yeah, again, it was really cool for him to make a movie all on iPhone. And then Night Bitch, which was mentioned, but people are saying that this could be Amy Adams' chance, and I'm rooting for that at least. Nosferatu, Christmas Day, it's going to be a banger. And then the Wild Robot animation.
Yeah, a lot of similar films here. Nosferatu is like the one I'm looking forward to most at this point. But I mean, there's plenty of movies that I'm still wanting to see very much. Whatever Steve McQueen's doing, I'm always in for. So Blitz, I don't even know.
Another Saoirse Ronan film.
I don't even know what it's about. So I'm just like, yes, McQueen, great. Megalopolis,
Of course.
Or Coppola's poured his heart into this thing. Ken, I'm all for it.
Were you one of the AI people that they got a quote from talking about the Godfather part?
Oh, yeah. When I put in my review in 1972,
when you were minus 13 years old.
I was really confused as to why he was quoting that.
This movie fucking sucks. Aaron Newworth.
And I was like, why is John Cho hovering over me while he's talking about it? But yeah, Terrifier 3, obviously. The piano lesson, I'm very much looking forward to also. I like that it's, it's a big Washington affair. You have his one son directing it, his other son starring in it, then he's producing it. Like, yeah, give me all the Washingtons.
Yep.
And Sam Jackson's the lead. Like, cool. Like, all this is great. The Wild Robot. I really want to see DreamWorks deliver like a Pixar level emotional ride that happens to involve robots in the forest. Cool. I'm down for it. I'm far more invested in Gladiator 2 now than I was before. So like I'm looking forward to just seeing Ridley Scott go nuts in another epic.
I just didn't know that your levels were like super increased now.
That trailer I think is fucking great. Like I'm so much more on board, and because it's I think what helps is that it's not, you can't just do that again because like he died. So it's not just like, oh, I got to go back in the arena. It's like a whole different story that just happens to be set in the same world. So I'm like, Ridley Scott doesn't tend to like mess up his epics very much. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, cool. Give me this. Give me Denzel in a Roman epic with all this stuff happening. I like it. I like what it's got, the battles and the naval battles in the Colosseum and rhinoceri. Fuck yeah. Give me all this. if it's a mess, I don't care. At least I got to see whatever the fuck this thing's going to be after years of being like, I'm going to do Gladiator 2. And I'm sitting there like, why? And it's like, okay, this actually looks pretty cool. And then Clint Eastwood's Juror number 2. We've got supposedly it's going to release this year. I think the premise rules. Do you guys know the premise?
I don't actually.
It's a pretty, like, this is just the log line of it. There's a jury on a murder case, and one of the jurors, played by Nicholas Holt, he's the guy that actually did the crime.
Oh wow!
Okay.
That's a cool premise for a thriller. And if that's Clint Eastwood's last film, which it's rumored to be his last movie that he's directing, I hope he goes out on top. But that's just I love that premise a lot. So I'm looking forward to that. But Nosferatu is like right there. That's the movie I can't. I saw Shaun of the Dead last night in Dolby because they
were like which anniversary is it?
The 20th anniversary.
20th. Yeah.
And they played and I was in the Dolby theater. They played the trailer for Nosferatu in Dolby, and I was like, oh fuck, this is so good. I'm excited for those ones. For sure.
There's a lot of really good movies this fall, holiday, winter season for the award season right up, for sure.
Fall's hitting hard, for sure. Like, there's plenty of movies that I haven't listed that are coming out that I'm excited for as well, but you know.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things coming our way this fall, for sure. We're kind of out of the zone where movies were delayed because of the strikes at this point, so like everything that's going to come out is going to come out at this point. So, you know, we'll see where things land. But we've done it. We've talked about the summer, we've talked about what's next, and most importantly, we've crowned me as the new king.
Wow.
The champion.
Congratulations again, Aaron.
The new champion.
Have you won before?
And, Marcus, your line may be long, but also may be over.
I've won.
Wow. People preying on my downfall.
I'm just saying, we're saying nice things about your reign.
I didn't know it was this. There's this much venom for me. I feel, this is like Gladiator 2 in here.
I've won before. It's my second time winning this thing.
Yes, okay. Correct.
I've still got
out of what, 12 times, which is pretty decent. Yeah,
I'm happy with that. I joined.
Not a lot of repeat winners.
Yeah, I'm in the exclusive two timers club.
So now, there's only like two other people, right?
Adam. There's Adam. I think Maxwell, I believe, won a couple times. I have to check to see some of these.
No worries. But it's very exclusive.
Yeah, I can tell you who hasn't won: Scott Mendelsohn.
Oh man.
But that's how things have turned out here, and we're gonna do it again next year, November 13, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah,
when Jurassic World Rebirth comes out.
Solid cast.
It is a solid cast. They made an entire Jurassic Park World movie before Blade came out. Like, Blade was announced years ago, and within the time that Blade was announced, they shot an entire fucking dinosaur movie with Mahershala Ali, and he still hasn't made Blade. Because it's that hard.
I think we should probably just direct Blade.
It's that hard to make a Blade movie. Like, it takes longer to make that than it does to make a fucking dinosaur epic. Like, he's sitting there with glasses and his coat on. It's like, guys, really? What, we can't do this? Anyway, Marcus, you lost.
Oh, the venom. Here it comes, the venom. I knew it. Yeah. Everybody was so nice to me throughout the year, smiling in my face.
Were they smiling in my face?
Backstabbers.
It wasn't. Right. It wasn't like we were having like a Roman like Senate race.
Smiling in my face.
Well, he didn't spend enough Dakaris to keep that hold.
Next time Marcus wins, we'll have to do this like on the Ides of March, and we can all stab him.
Wow.
Take his crown for real.
Wow. With
the crown that sits atop my head is the crown that matters right now. That's for sure.
Well, congrats, sir, because you have definitely proven it by 80 points, you know, like again, huge. Yeah, total.
I destroyed you guys.
Oh, wow, not a humble king. Remember my reign and how kind I was.
Remember my reign.
Yeah, you got by a nice electoral win. That was good for you. I got the fucking popular vote here.
Congrats again, sir. Well deserved. Well deserved.
Wow. Thank you. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. You can find more of my work on my personal Substack page, thecodazeek.substack.com. Everything I do ends up over there. I'm the editor-in-chief at We Live Entertainment. All my movie reviews can be found at that site. I write Blu-ray and Criterion reviews over at Wise of Blue. We're at the end of the summer of 2004 at 20, which I co-hosted with Brandon Peters and Scott Mendelson. We talked about the summer movie season. Feel free to catch up on all those episodes because there's a lot of fun stuff in there. But we do have one concluding episode as well to kind of wrap up the summer of 2004 and our thoughts on that. And I'm on all the socials at Aaron's PS4.
Scott Mendelson, isn't that loser? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, Scott. I don't want the smoke.
Oh, he's going to come after you now. You can find more fun stuff over my Instagram, abe.mua, and twitter.com/lowersmooth, hashtag fall season.
Marcus Robinson, former champion.
That's a great title to have.
It said with such venom and vitriol, I can... No, whatever. Anyway, you can find some of my stuff at moviesmarcus.com, on Twitter, at moviesmarcus. Hashtag let's go Corey.
Okay. You can find all the other episodes out now there on iTunes, Spotify, Audioboom, and Stitcher.
We're on the socials. We've got everything going there. Check us out on Facebook.
For sure. Instagram, Twitter, all that. Marcus, thank you very much for joining us this week.
Thank you, Marcus.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be your king for this past year and letting me into your homes.
Yeah, the history books will judge how well of a rule.
They will look back on my reign fondly when Aaron steps in here and starts waving it around, you know. So I look forward to people crawling back to me.
Well, you have the next summer to make up for it. So, well, thank you again, Marcus.
Thank you guys for having me.
You know, it's just a shame that you lost, but you know, things happen. And thanks to, of course, all the participants of the 12th Annual Summer Movie Gamble: Jay, Scott, Mark, Abe, you, Marcus, Mark, Maxwell, Brandon, Philip, Terrence, Adam, Jose, Alan, Peter, Yancey, and Luke. Without this,
and the listeners that submitted too,
of course, the listeners that submitted as well, Ruben and Chris, and the listeners for listening. Mm-hmm. All this is a lot of good fun. It's very fun to do the Summer Gamble. It's an intense competition, but it's certainly worth doing. Enjoy the latest poster that'll go up as well, celebrating this this epic event. And next week's show is Beetlejuice. Don't say it again. Ooh. So yeah, stay tuned for that. We'll see what we think of Tim Burton's latest. That's gonna do it for now. So until next time, so long
and goodbye.